You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along to the latest edition of the FWA podcast. Good to have you with us. Dave Kellner in the studio with this week's guest, Mark Ogden, the chief football correspondent for The Independent, on the line. First of all, good morning to you, Mark.
Hi, Dave.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm very good, thank you.
OK, Mark, let's start with a quick chat about Liverpool's performance last night in the Europa League, just before we get stuck into the weekend Premier League games. They were terrific once again at Anfield. Big European night, and the side performed.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the game last week in Spain, and Villarreal scored that late goal to take a lead. And I always felt confident that Liverpool would go through. It's just, I don't know what it is, but some clubs seem to have this feel for Europe. I mean, I was at Real Madrid on Wednesday and they had that feel for it as well. And Champions League, Europa League matters to these clubs. In Liverpool, it's just one of those clubs that Europe means something special, something extra. And I've been to Anfield when they have these, you know, so-called European glory nights, and they are, you know, they're different, and the atmosphere intimidates foreign teams. Even teams like Borussia Dortmund, who, you know, very experienced, very hardened teams, it does make a difference. And I just felt, even after Villarreal scored in Spain, that Liverpool were always going to win this second leg. I could just see Villarreal freezing on the night, finding it difficult, and that's exactly what happened. It's just Anfield does have a special atmosphere on European nights, and it drives Liverpool over the line. And it's a cliche because it's true, but it does make a difference. And you know, a lot of fans from other clubs will think, "Oh, here we go again. It's Liverpool, and it's not that good." But trust me, it is. I mean, doing the job I do, I go to a lot of clubs. European nights, I've been to Arsenal, Chelsea, Man City, and there is practically no atmosphere at those grounds. The only two grounds for me that actually make a difference on Champions League nights are Anfield and Old Trafford. Those two clubs have got steeped in European tradition, so I think that's what it is. There's an extra element there, an X factor, it just gets them over the line.
In Liverpool, by the way, 8-11 to win the Europa League against Sevilla, who have won it the last two seasons. Sevilla in the market at even money. I'm sure Jurgen Klopp will look to make changes in the summer. But they've got some outstanding players at Anfield right now. Philip Coutinho's outstanding, and Robert Firmino's got that X factor you mentioned earlier, can make things happen. And Emre Can looks like he's going to, under the right tutelage, turn out to be a beast in midfield.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Jurgen Klopp's rebuilding programme will be accelerated so much more quickly if they get in the Champions League, because all of a sudden Liverpool will appeal. I mean, they always appeal to players anyway, but if they're in the Champions League, they'll appeal far more to the top players than it would do to if they're in the Europa League or not even Europe at all, because, you know, Chelsea will find this year that not being in Europe will affect their acquisition strategy. So Liverpool will certainly get themselves a real kind of stronger hand if they can beat Sevilla and get in the Champions League via the Europa League. And I've got to say, I think those odds, you know, I think Liverpool are absolute certainties to win this game, because, again, I'm talking about the atmosphere. Liverpool fans will just absolutely take over that stadium in Basel. There'll be 40,000 Liverpool fans there.
Yeah.
And it'll be like a home game. And, you know, Sevilla will find that so hard. Sevilla are a good team. They won it the last 2 years. But, you know, Man City beat them twice in the group stage in the Champions League. I just think they're quite beatable. And I just think Liverpool, put your house in Liverpool to win that one, because, like I say, it'll be a home game in Switzerland.
Let's get stuck into this weekend's Premier League matches, the ones that are televised, Mark. And we'll start with the action at Carrow Road on Saturday lunchtime. And Norwich taking on Manchester United. And Norwich are 7-2 to win the game. The draw 21-10. Manchester United just a shade of odds on here with William Hill at 10-11. A vital game for both clubs. Norwich need to win to have really any chance of survival in the Premier League. And Manchester United still have designs on that top four place, Mark.
Yeah, and this is a really hard game to call, I think, because, I mean, just over the last couple of years, I think the last two times United have been to Carrow Road in the Premier League, they've lost. I mean, it's a tough place for United to go to. Obviously, Norwich won at Old Trafford in December, when United were at the kind of the depths of their troubles this season. So Norwich will feel that they've got the ability to beat United. They've done it before. The players will know what it feels like to beat United. And like you said, they have to get a result tomorrow. Norwich just can't go into this game with anything else than a victory. So Norwich will be pumped up for this. It's a game they have to win. I thought they were unlucky at Arsenal last Sunday. I thought that they gave Arsenal certainly a challenge. Sorry, last Saturday night. They gave Arsenal a tough game. I think Norwich will do that. And with United, you just don't know. You don't know, are they going to be the team that, you know, beat Arsenal recently, or that beat Man City? Are they going to be the team that can lose games when you don't expect them to? I think that comes with having quite an inexperienced team. You know, they have got experience in key areas, but they've got people like Anthony Marshall, Marcus Rashford, Jesse Lingard, who've done well this season, but every now and again they dip. So it's a really hard game to call. But obviously, if United win this game, then it puts a lot of pressure on Man City on Sunday to beat Arsenal, because otherwise then the top four race becomes a very intense one. I think it'll be in United's hands if United win and City don't win on Sunday. So, and obviously West Ham are in the equation too. So it's a huge game for both teams. And I just can't call it tomorrow. I think I would edge to favour Norwich because of their recent record against United.
In terms of Louis van Gaal, has he done enough in the second half of the season to suggest that he should get his last year of his contract and be able to see his spell at Manchester United out?
I don't think so, no. I think if Van Gaal wins the FA Cup this season, I think it will be the perfect time for United to say, thanks, Lou, you've steadied the ship for the last 2 years. You've seen the young kids come through, but they do need to take it to another level now. And I think, you know, you ask a lot of the supporters at United and they're not happy with the football that's being played. They think the United are too cautious. It's not the way that Man United play. And there have been positive signs in recent weeks. You know, the win at West Ham in the FA Cup was a big sign, and the win at Man City. But for Man United fans, the football is just too slow and ponderous. And you know, I was watching the Champions League semi-finals this week, and certainly the Bayern Atletico game, and the standard in that game was so high, and United are nowhere near that. And I just think Van Gaal's football, it's outdated. It's not of 2016. It's maybe 10 to 15 years out of date. And I think United are now at a position where they need to look to go the next step, and especially if Man City and Liverpool are in the Champions League next season, that'll be a killer blow for United, because the two closest rivals will have the advantage of the Champions League. It might mean they can get better players in United, so it's a crossroads for United now. I think they need to take it to another level, and I think that means that Van Gaal has to go.
If Van Gaal does leave, who steps in?
Big question again. I mean, some people say that Jose Mourinho's yesterday's man as well, because they will argue that his style of football's 5-10 years out of date. I think Mourinho will come in and give them a lift and take them to another level. I think his determination as well to prove a point after what happened at Chelsea. I think Ryan Giggs has got a chance. I think people underestimate how people at United value Ryan Giggs and how much they believe in him. But you know, I think the ideal scenario for United would be something like Maurizio Pochettino, but he's just signing a contract at Tottenham, a 5-year deal, and you know, you don't sign a contract and then move the month afterwards. I think Pochettino's out of the question now. So I'd imagine it's a case of Giggs or Mourinho, and you either go for, you know, the experience of Mourinho, or you go for the kind of the club tradition of Giggs. And again, it's a tough call. I'd probably head towards Mourinho because he's got a winning CV.
Norwich are 7-2 to win that game on Saturday lunchtime. The tea time kickoff is Leicester City's coronation against Everton. 5:30 this one. Leicester slight odds on, 10-11 to win this game. The draw 11-5. Everton 100-30. I never thought I'd see a side like Leicester City, with the greatest respect to Leicester City, win the Premier League. And I don't think this is going to become the norm. It's probably the exception to the rule this season.
Yeah, I think as much as it's been, in a way, you know, Leicester kind of coasted the title. They've been top since January. They've not wobbled at all. It's almost been a procession. If that was Chelsea, Liverpool, Man United, Man City who won the title, the people would think, well, you know, that's what big clubs do. And Leicester have done that, but I agree. I think to repeat that next season, you're asking 15 of Leicester's players to repeat the best season of their career and probably go better with the Champions League involved as well. And also you're going to have clubs like Chelsea, United, Liverpool, Arsenal, City, Spurs, who will inevitably get better because they have to. And so it'll be really tough for Leicester next season, but they deserved it every step of the way and could win it by a really healthy margin as well in terms of points. So it's been totally deserved, but will it happen again? I'd be absolutely amazed if it happened again next season, because the Champions League will take a lot out of their resources next season.
Yeah, I agree. And from a betting perspective here, Mark, while everyone was reflecting in the Leicester glow on Monday night, punters were thinking, how do we take advantage of this? Mm. And Everton have been well backed in this game. Do you think they'll still be? Will there be the hangover? Maybe not a literal hangover. There could be for Leicester City's players on Saturday.
There could be, yeah. And I think Everton are a really hard team to predict. I mean, away from home, away from Goodison Park, their record's one of the best in the Premier League. So you certainly can't write Everton off. But I do wonder whether there's a question of motivation and desire now at Everton. It does feel like the end of something at Everton, and whether Roberto Martinez is kind of on borrowed time. But you don't get the impression with Everton that they're playing for the manager or any kind of... There just seemed to be a lack of direction there. And I think, can Everton turn it on to the extent that they beat Leicester? You're right in what you said about the hangover. You know, they've had a busy week off the pitch, Leicester, so it might affect them. But I think it goes the other way as well. It might just inspire a kind of a party atmosphere, and they could absolutely race to victory. I'd be surprised if Everton win this game. I think Leicester, you know, I think Jamie Vardy will be back for this one. I think Leicester will win the game and, you know, and prove themselves as worthy champions.
Mm. Yeah, I do too. Leicester are 10-11 to win this match. Just a quick word on Martinez. Has he outstayed his welcome at Everton now, at Goodison? The Everton fans don't seem to want him there, and he's been playing the nice guy card throughout the course of the season. Maybe that's wearing a little thin.
It seems to have outstayed his welcome, yeah. I mean, like I said, if supporters are unveiling banners and, you know, paying for planes to be flown over the ground, that doesn't bode well for a manager, does it? I mean, you need the fans on side, and I'm not saying it's the entirety of the Everton support, but it seems to be a kind of a growing number. You know, a lot of people like Roberto Martinez for the way he plays the game, but there is this flaw in his game, which he's had, you know, throughout his career, and he certainly had it at Wigan, where defensively his teams are just easy to pick off, and that's happened at Everton. I think in his first season he benefited from the defence that David Moyes left behind and, you know, built on that, but that defence is now beginning to creak a little bit, and he's not been able to improve it, and people are suggesting that John Stones hasn't made the progress he needs to make because he's not been worked on by Martinez. So, yeah, I think, you know... Like I said, people like Martinez, but I'm not sure he can survive the summer. I think Everton will look to make a change. They've got a new owner, or they've got a new majority shareholder, and that usually suggests that the new guy comes in and he wants his own man, and it doesn't look good for Everton and Martinez. And Everton could finish in the bottom half, and with the squad they've got, you know, people like Stones, Barkley, Lukaku, it's just not good enough, really.
Mm. Leicester to win that game 10-11 then for Mark. Let's move on to... the game's on Sunday, and we start at White Hart Lane with the 1:30 kick-off. Tottenham taking on Southampton. Tottenham 10-11. The draw 12-5 with Southampton in the betting at 3-1. Enhanced odds: Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win 2-1. It was 9-5. And Sadio Mane to score and Southampton to win was 11-2 and is now 8-1. Tottenham will obviously feel slightly deflated, slightly disappointed that, having been 2-0 up on Monday night at Stamford Bridge, they couldn't hang on to that lead, and they saw their Premier League title hopes go up in smoke. But it's been a terrific season for Spurs. They've moved forward, and they've got a young side as well that Mauricio Pochettino's really worked with, and the future looks bright for Spurs.
It does, yeah. You know, you're right, they've got a real kind of tight-knit young group of players there. I think one of the positives from Monday night, which was quite a belligerent game at Chelsea, was the way that they all stood up for each other, and you know, they certainly crossed the line in terms of the physical stuff, but I think sometimes when you see players doing that and then racing to defend each other, it's a good sign. It shows that they are a tight-knit group and there's no kind of question marks over the team's spirit. I mean, would Arsenal players do that? I'm not so sure. Would Man United players do that? Would there be this kind of band of brothers mentality? I don't think there would be. And I think for Tottenham, that means a lot. And next season, that group of players will probably stay together. I'm sure they'll add to it. But, you know, this game on Sunday, Southampton are still really chasing Europa League position, and I think we saw against Man City last week that when they're on form, they're a very tough team to beat. And Spurs will be without Dele Alli, who's suspended. I'd imagine Moussa Dembélé will be suspended too, so you've got two key midfielders that won't play. They may have taken them off the ball because they can no longer win the league, so I think Southampton could nick a result at Spurs at the weekend. I think their need is greater than Tottenham's right now. I think with Mane, that those odds of 8-1, you know, for Mane to score, Southampton to win, Mane's been really impressive when he fancied it. So I think Southampton get a result here.
He's that sort of player, isn't he, Mane? As soon as the summer closes in, he starts performing. He's an enigma, Sadio Mane, and maybe he'll be looking for a move, do you think?
Well, obviously, you know, Man United were very interested in last summer. That was clear, and Southampton held on to him. But I think when that came out last August, people were raising eyebrows thinking, well, why United so keen on Mane? But I think he's proved this year exactly why. You know, he is hard to handle on and off the pitch, I think. But, you know, he scored in big games. You know, he scored at Chelsea earlier this season. He did well against Liverpool and Man City. He knows where the goal is in the bigger game. So he's got such pace as well. I think Southampton will find it hard to keep him. And I think it seems the way he's kind of behaved himself a little bit as well, that he's not quite focused on staying at Southampton, so it'll be interesting to see where he ends up.
Southampton maybe to win that game then at 3-1 away at Spurs on Sunday. And the weekend finishes with Manchester City versus Arsenal at 4 p.m. kickoff. Manchester City 6-4, the draw 21-10, and Arsenal in the market at 19-10. Enhanced odds, Sergio Aguero to score and Manchester City to win is 9-4, and Danny Welbeck to score and Arsenal to win in the market at 5-1. Very disappointing performance from Manchester City midweek against Real Madrid. We all know that Real Madrid are one of the best sides in Europe, Mark, but Manchester City didn't equip themselves like a team that wanted to win that game. And the first leg, when they had the opportunity to really go at Real at the Etihad, when Real were without Ronaldo, and they failed to make any sort of impact. The fans must be absolutely gutted with Manchester City, the manner of their performance over the two legs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they didn't score, didn't have a shot on target in the Bernabeu, and even when Ronaldo played on Wednesday night, it was nowhere near his best. And, you know, Madrid are one of the great clubs in Europe. I wouldn't say they're one of the great sides at the moment. I was really disappointed by Real Madrid on Wednesday. I just felt they lacked something. And, you know, Toni Kroos and Modric in midfield were exceptional, but they don't strike me as a team that would strike fear into the hearts of better teams. And I was there, I was just waiting for City to go at them. And, you know, they had 70 minutes to score the goal that would have taken them through. And you're just waiting and waiting and waiting and nothing happened. Yaya Toure was just strutting around like he didn't want to be there. It wasn't until they put Sterling and Iheanacho on late in the game that they actually looked like they might give it a go. But even then, it was like, well, you know, this is the Champions League semi-final, potentially the biggest game of your careers. And the players were just half-hearted. It was such a letdown for City and the fans as well. I think there is a danger that this could really, you know, drag on to the Arsenal game. And who knows, City might miss out on the top four. I think they've probably just got enough points in the bag and the goal difference will see them over the line. But if Man United or West Ham or both win on Saturday and City fail to beat Arsenal on Sunday, then top four is out of City's hands. And, you know, I mean, obviously, City got back late from Madrid. They didn't land back to in Manchester until 4 a.m. On Thursday morning. So they've had a bad result. They've had a real kind of downer. They got back late. They won't have got to the beds until 5 a.m. at least on Thursday morning. And then they're playing Arsenal at the Etihad. And I think they'll be without Vincent Kompany. They'll be without a couple of other players. Maybe, you know, David Silva's missing. So I think Arsenal really will be fresh. City could find this hard because they'll be so tired and so dejected after Madrid that little things like that will play against City. And I think Arsenal can really take advantage. They won their last season and they beat them at the Emirates this season as well. So again, Arsenal will feel that they've got recent history beating City and know how to do it.
19-10 Arsenal to win that game. Just on Real Madrid's performance, Mark, I get that it's frustrating, but I get the feeling we're never going to see the absolute best out of Gareth Bale when Ronaldo's in that team with him. You look at his performances when Ronaldo's not started and his goals ratio is much better. And Ronaldo does get overly frustrated with Bale when he wears possession occasionally.
Yeah, there's an example of that on Wednesday when Ronaldo threw his arms in the air when Bale. I felt Bale was kind of a bit selfish at times and didn't look for the pass. But last week, that was Bale's chance at the Etihad to make a real statement, but he didn't do it. You know, a lot of us came away from the Etihad after the 0-0 draw thinking, well, would you really pay £100 million for Gareth Bale? You know, people are talking at Man United every summer being interested in Bale, and great player that he is. I don't think he's on the level of Ronaldo. I think, you know, Bale had his chance at the Etihad, and he didn't really come to the party. And again, in the week, he scored the goal, but you'd expect a bit more from Gareth Bale. So he's obviously been positioned by Madrid as their star player, because I was outside the Bernabeu on Wednesday night, and if you look at the souvenir shop, he is front and centre of their kind of marketing at the moment. You see, Ronaldo was to the side of Bale, so he showed how big Bale is, but I still think if you had to choose one, you'd choose Ronaldo to win you a game.
OK, we talked about the four matches that are televised this weekend. Just one final question, Mark. Obviously, the title race is done and dusted. Leicester City are Premier League champions. What about the relegation battle? It's 2 from 3. Norwich, Sunderland or Newcastle. Two of those will be going down with Aston Villa. Which one survives?
Well, I think because Newcastle have got Aston Villa this weekend, you'd imagine that would be 3 points for Newcastle. I think if they can't beat Aston Villa, then they got Spurs last game of the season. I think Newcastle win tomorrow. I think that they'd be my favourites to stay up. I think Sunderland away at Chelsea, they've won there in the past. Again, they know what it's like to win there, but I think Chelsea showed at the week against Spurs, got a bit between the teeth, and I think it's going to be hard. I think Sunderland have got a game in midweek, but I just feel that Newcastle, they look much, much more solid with Rafa Benitez, and I think they've got a bit more quality up front than they have at Sunderland. I don't give Norwich much hope, to be honest. I think Newcastle were the team that survived, so I just think they've got a little bit extra, and I think they've got the best manager as well.
Superb. Thank you, Mark. You can follow Mark on Twitter, @MarkOgden_. You can follow myself, @DKellner. Thank you again, Mark, for your preview of the televised matches this Premier League weekend, and we'll catch up soon.
Thanks, Dave.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.